Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and we've got plenty of Pennsylvania. I wish I could go back to college, but the colors of my life are one Halloween away from all good gifts. It's autumn in New York, but also days of plenty. Joining us today are the usual November songs, including Kevin, Seasons of Love, Jaeger.
Oh, I slid in just in time.
Kimberly, our try to remember game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
I don't remember.
And with us today is an amazing playwright and songwriter. You can check out her newest work, 1968, A Tribute for Change, online. The link is in the episode description, so you can check it out there. But let's give a big, broad-waisted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
November Christine.
Y'all ready for this?
Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome, November. Thank you so much for joining us. We're so happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Of course, but before we start with anything, what are you drinking?
What am I drinking?
I have before you a lovely Dark Horse buttery Chardonnay. Okay, is that
beautiful?
Nice.
I love Dark Horse.
I love that logo so much.
Yeah, it is. It's very buttery. I'm enjoying it.
Are you typically a Chardonnay person? Is that your white wine of choice?
I actually ordered a barefoot . Nothing fancy, but then they upgraded me.
Ooh.
For a classy evening.
Oh,
awesome.
That is a solid upgrade, actually.
That is. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's legit.
Yeah.
Kevin, what are you drinking?
Just a sensible sized glass of red wine. You know, just typical Cabernet.
That is overflowing.
Just a goblet.
This way, I just have to keep getting up and refilling it. It can just be fair. One glass I sip on the rest of the night.
Sure. Kimberly?
I also have a red wine that I did not pick out myself, and I took a sip, and it's not very good. And so it's just sweet, and I don't usually drink a sweet wine. So, Kevin, out of your book, I put it in the fridge.
Did that help?
After I took a sip, I put the bottle in the fridge.
Oh.
So maybe it cold might be a little better. Not above it. Gonna drink it. Not a fan.
I'm doing my new classy way to drink tequila. I have a lemon lime seltzer, and I put some Tanteo tequila right in the can.
Yes.
Yep.
But thank you so much for joining us. We're super excited to have you and hang out for a little bit. Let's kind of just get started. What's your favorite musical?
My favorite musical. It toggles back and forth between like Ragtime, Hamilton. And I'm like one of those people that's like strangely obsessed with this like new TikTok musical, the Bridgerton one.
I'm with you. I'm there as well. In prepping for my game, I was like, I'm going to do something with lyrics. And I was like, I should use Burn for you. And I was like, no, no one else will know. No one else will know.
Oh, I will know. Yeah. Slightly obsessed.
Amazing.
So good.
Okay, so I want to jump back a little bit. So you have a background in cellular biology and molecular genetics, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, that's wild. So how does that influence your work today? So you're a working playwright, songwriter. You've had some I've been I looked up a lot of kind of, I didn't have the privilege of seeing any of them, but I saw a lot of the work that you do. Talk about how, you know, that background, that very specific background, informs your work today.
So the most specific example I can give is like super rando. So Legacy is about Martin, it's about, you know, Martin Luther King, and my musical Legacy is about Martin Luther King and his namesake, Martin Luther, who's like a 500-year-old German priest.
Totally.
Father of the Catholic Reformation. It's, you know, it's about, you know, the parallels between their legacies. People ask me, well, why did you ever think to write a musical about, I know, especially Martin Luther. And I was like, well, originally it wasn't going to be about him. I just had this hilarious idea. It'd be really funny to have rapping monks. I wasn't trying to be deep. I just thought it'd be funny. And I was like, okay, who are some monks that I know personally? You know, like, who do I have on speed dial? And I was going to do a show about Gregor Mendel, who is the father of Mendelian genetics.
Oh, of course. Yes, yes.
Which, you know, it's like, oh, of course, everybody knows about that. Personal favorite dude of mine with my background. But of course, when I like started trying to write about it, I was like, no, this is so, you know, I was, there is a link. But it's not like direct. It's more like the way I think about things and the way I approach my work. I tend to be less like, oh, this would be so fun. And there'll be high kicks and there'll be like, you know, jazz fingers and stuff. And it's more like, well, you know, we get to delve into the layers and the complexities of, you know, these historical, you know, political events, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, when I write, I tend to like pull from all sorts of sources that maybe don't normally make it into typical musical theater.
That's so cool.
That's amazing. Well, I would watch the Genetics musical.
Totally.
It started on TikTok.
You know, don't put it past me.
So, you know, having that background and working on things, like who are like artists or scientists or whomever that inspired you along your journey? And then second part of that is like, who inspires you now? Is it still the same people?
Well, my journey to musical theater was accidental. It's funny because my whole career was like ping ponged by and pushed forward inadvertently by Black women. When I was originally choosing my first degree in genetics, it was because in high school, my role models were two Black women that taught me in school. One was biology and one was specifically genetics. And before then, I had no interest in that, in that stuff. But learning about it from these women, it just normalized the idea that this is a thing I could do. And these women were like so smart and just were really good role models. So, you know, that's how I went into that field. And then when I realized, well, you know, as I was studying science, I realized I was doing a lot of stuff in my free time. I was just completely creative. I was writing short stories. I was arranging music for the collegiate a cappella group. I was singing. I was performing. And that was where I was really joyful. You know, it wasn't just an intellectual thing. I was happy. And so that's when I decided, well, I want to do something in the arts, but I didn't know what. Mm-hmm. So I ended up, after I finished my degree, I went back home to North Carolina, where my family is from. And I was like, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life, but I think I want to do music. So I applied to the East Carolina University School of Music, and I had no background. They really should not have accepted me, except that I had, you know, like, honestly, I had no reason for them to take me, except that I did have a lot of raw talent, mm-hmm. and I had the desire. And when they heard that I had a background in science, they were like, you know what, you need to talk to Louise Toppin, Dr. Louise Toppin. I was like, who is this woman? They're like, she is this amazing opera diva, but she started off as a doctor. She started off in the medical field, and then she just did a 180, and now she's like an amazing opera singer. And I was like, I must meet this woman. And they introduced me to her, and she agreed to mentor me. And it's, she's the reason, she's also a Black woman. And she's the reason, and I'm sure that's, you know, why she decided to give me a chance, even though I didn't have the traditional credentials mm-hmm. that you would normally have. And I feel like that's just so important. That's so important in this industry and in every aspect of life, for there to be people like you that look like you and have had some area of your experience that will, you know, reach out and sort of take care of you and guide you into the industry. And that's, you know, that's something that I had early on, something that I've actually kind of struggled continuing to find once I got at the professional level.
Sure.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What, I mean, I guess what, with your work, you know, having studied with and been mentored by, you know, such an interesting group of people, just like them pushing and then finding someone that kind of like went by your path a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Is there a part of you that wants your work to kind of be that for other people? Is there a part of you that like wants to, I guess, talk about what impact you want your work to have? And we can kind of talk into 1968, which you can see in the description of this episode.
Yeah, thank you. That's a great question. Yeah, I mean, I guess when I first started, I started off as an actress, mm-hmm. and didn't take too long to realize that there weren't a lot of people like me, and there weren't a lot of roles that actually really spoke to my experience. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a lot of stuff like, well, you can play the maid and you can play the slave or you can play the best friend. In my life, I'm not any of those things. You know, in my life, I'm the star of my own story, mm-hmm. you know, yet I don't see a lot of that in musical theater or theater in general.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, yeah, that's what I really hope in my writing, just through the lived experience that I have, my presence in the industry and the roles that I create. I hope that I can like kind of crack open the door and open people's minds to the idea, normalize the idea that a Black woman can be the center of a human story that everyone can relate to and enjoy and learn from and experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I hate to go back to what you had been talking about before, but you said that you arranged for your collegiate a cappella group.
Yes.
What were some of your favorite arrangements? Because I love a cappella stuff.
Okay, so this is going to sound so crazy, but I feel like all college a cappella groups are like really so ridiculous, but like so amazing.
Yeah.
So in college, I was like very, very, very Christian. And, you know, that is something that I have moved into a different space with. I'm not, you know, talking any trash. But at that time, I was like rolling for Jesus. Let's do it.
Sure, sure.
So I was in this a cappella group called Voices of Truth. And
yes.
And we would do these hilarious mashups of like Christian songs, but with like, but also but like mash them up with like regular pop music.
Amazing.
We would do like, so you know, like Lifehouse and stuff like that, but like mix it with like, you know, hymns or like, you know, just like songs from church. It was so dumb, but it was so fun.
Oh my God, I love that so much.
I can imagine a really good mashup of like you, me, and all other people with like that something that would mesh like perfectly spiritually with that. 100%. I'm totally on board.
Like, and especially back then, because it was the 90s and 90s, early 2000s. And like the songs were so emotional.
Yeah.
And like we were in our feelings. The CW played
everyone on episodes of their TV shows.
You could take like the power ballads of the 90s and turn them directly into like the like Christian rock power ballad. Like it all was the
100%.
Same.
Yeah. Literally just go into the lyrics and like delete Oh Baby and just replace with Oh Jesus and you're there. Like,
yeah, it's so true.
Yeah. Now also, if I took you like in the after times, COVID's gone, we go to a karaoke bar and you have to go up and sing, what's your go-to song?
Okay, look. I'm bad at karaoke because my background is classical.
Yeah.
So I always sing Summertime.
You're like, Caramio Ben, please.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And they're like, ma'am.
No. We don't have
know her. She doesn't go here. I always sing Summertime. Yeah, and I get away with it. I get away with it because people know it, and I'll just like jazz it up, and they literally like actually like it. And then I'm like, okay, I've done my one. Leave me alone. I'm over here drinking now.
Yeah,
yeah, but like, absolutely. If you go first, like you set a very interesting tone for karaoke night.
See,
I feel like American Idol normalized Summertime as like a standard for like that this generation understands. So you can totally get away with Summertime in like the pop like karaoke bars of today.
Now I'm just liking the idea of karaoke, like you pick your week of American Idol and that's your kid, like go to karaoke and be like, but everyone, it's country week. Like,
God, yes.
Everyone, it's jazz week.
I'm oh like, my God.
Stay to theme. That is me musical theaterizing karaoke night.
I love it.
I'm here for it.
Great.
Do you know where else we do a little bit of karaoke?
Where?
Tuesdays in the corner with Kevin.
It's Kevin's corner. It's gotten very slow again.
Oh, yeah. No. Okay. Welcome to Kevin's Corner, where I come up with some zany, weird, funny questions to get to know you better. And today is day trip with Kevin. And the way this is going to work is I'm going to talk through like a day trip that you and I would take together in the after times when COVID is gone. And I'll stop every once in a while with a question and you'll have to answer it rapid fire. Like first thing that comes to mind. So we meet up at your place because you said you wanted to make a big breakfast. What are you making?
I'm making my famous omelets. I hope you like eggs.
Yes.
Heavy on the, mushrooms and onions. So I hope you like those.
Sounds perfect.
Amazing. So we decide that we're going to rent a car to go travel. And you get to decide what kind of car we take for the day. So what kind of car are we taking?
Oh my God. Are we taking the limo? This is so fun.
Okay. So we're taking a limo and then we're in a perfect geographic location where we can drive west to the beach or east to the mountains? Are we going to the mountains or the beach?
We are in California.
Yeah. Like,
we are in Cali, baby. We got stuck the last time we tried to take the limo to the mountains, so we're going to the beach this time.
Amazing. Okay, we're taking a limo to the beach, and I made sure, I yell as we're on our way, I'm like, wait a minute, did you pack the cooler with our favorite drinks? And you said, totally, I packed what?
God, what is... of course I packed our buttery dark horse Chardonnay.
Yes.
Okay, so we get to the beach, and it's not just like a public beach, it's like a private beach club where we show up and like a cabana boy sets up like a table and chairs and decides
because to you took party. A limo.
It's yeah, duh. So he takes our order and he orders what we're gonna have for lunch. And so you get to order our lunch. I'm like, I'm too relaxed, I can't order. Order for me. What do you order for us?
Lobster, lobster.
This is a great day.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is amazing. Isn't it?
I'm very excited for this day.
And so,
I think this day needs to become real, actually.
I know, when are we going?
I know.
So we have an amazing time laying out by the beach, or on the beach, by the ocean. We go into the water for a bit, and then it starts to rain, so we have to go inside, and the club's like, we're so sorry it's raining. We've set up the movie room for you to watch whatever movie you want to watch. What movie are you picking for us to watch?
Okay, what am I watching? Let's do a Disney classic.
Okay.
Let's do The Lion King.
Great.
Yeah.
Now, are we doing the animated version of The Lion King or like the live action?
So just to be clear, they're both animated. There's nothing live action about the new
one. Either of them.
Thanks, Brian.
Let's clarify. Are we doing the dinner theater version? Are we like what?
Right, right.
We're going to do the classic because I tried 5 minutes of the weird CGI deepfake version, and I was like, I can't deal with it.
That's exactly what it's like.
Lion deepfakes.
Scared me.
Well, we have an amazing day watching Lion King, and then the chef from the club comes out and says, I am going to make you the like best, like crazy caloried, but doesn't matter, whatever you want, either dessert or like cheesy, whatever. What is our like guilty pleasure snack that we have while we watch The Lion King?
Ooh, there's got to be like chocolate involved. One of those things where you like, it's chocolate and then you cut it open and it just like explodes more chocolate in your face.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's called, but that, the like volcano.
Lava cake.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we have lava cakes to watch Lion King. And then it's time to go home. So we get back in the limo, and the limousine driver's like, yo, I got Spotify, so we can listen to whatever you want to. So you can jam out and drink champagne on your way back. So what are we jamming out to on our way back?
I burn for you.
Yeah.
You burn for me.
I burn.
I burn.
Is that the TikTok song?
Yeah.
I burn, you burn, we burn. Yes.
And then it's a group number to end act one.
Yeah. Everybody's burning for everyone else.
We end our day listening to the TikTok musical of Bridgerton and drinking champagne in the back of a limo. And that has been a day with Kevin in Kevin's Corner.
That was so fun.
Cheers. Iconic. I love it. That was the greatest day of my life. Thank you, Kevin.
Oh, limos and lobsters.
Limos, lobsters, Lion King, and lava cake.
It's so much.
Oh, that's my so God. Good.
Oh, that was that's so good.
Great.
Oh.
Perfection.
Now I'm hungry. I just ate dinner. Now I'm like really hungry again.
I have not had dinner, so opposite.
Lobsters on tap. Let's go.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shana Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So we just had an awesome experience on our day with Kevin. Is there a show that you've seen where it's like the best experience you've had? Doesn't have to be the best show, but like the experience, something about it, just like you didn't walk out. Your genes changed when you walked out.
It remapped my brain.
Yeah.
I personally had two great experiences with the same show. I did the Hamilton Lottery on both coasts.
Cool.
I won in California. I was living out there 2 years ago. I was actually out there for like 6 years. But I was living out there and I was like, I really want to see Hamilton. I do not have $5,000 billion. And so I did the lottery and I won. Wow. And I got to take my best friend and watch it front row for like $10. Mm-hmm. And just great. Just the perfect theater experience you want to have. And then I moved to New York a year later. And I was like, I want to see it on Broadway. And again, still don't have the moolah. So I played the lottery again and won. And got to bring another friend to
that
see it.
That is so crazy.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Were these the only times you tried? Like first try lotto win both times?
It wasn't first try. I mean, I had to like play for a little bit.
Sure.
But I'm not that person to like wins lotteries. I just was like, I really want to see it.
You win the Hamilton lottery.
I think that counts for like, that's probably good for like a at least $1 million in the regular lottery.
Oh yeah.
That's crazy. Two wins, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Were they both for front row?
Yeah, when you win the lottery, it's always for Hamilton. I've won other lotteries where it's not as sweet. But true. For Hamilton, they always put you in the front row. And you're just like sitting in their laps. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Remember
which
doing
one was
the lottery
better
every morning?
Oh yeah, like getting spit on by Jonathan Groff in the front row.
Heaven.
Days no more. He wears a face shield now.
No more. There is no front row. Everybody's like pushed 3 miles back watching in binoculars.
Everyone has opera glasses when Broadway comes by.
Do you have just going up that, do you have a favorite play? We talked to musicals. Is there a play that you just love?
You know, I'm going to be honest. I guess I'm not that cultured. I don't watch a ton of plays. Mm-hmm. The last play I saw was Fairview. No, it does not ring a single bell. I was like, I don't know what that is. It's like this rather controversial play that, I mean, the author... So a black woman, she won a Pulitzer Prize for it.
This is the one where you're like looking in on the family dinner. Yeah, she won the Pulitzer. That's right. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
You saw it?
I saw it.
Oh, I didn't remember the name. That's so cool.
Well, it was a little intense for me.
Sure.
Yeah, my friend of mine kind of invited me to go to it. And I'm like, cool. What is it? And she's like, oh, she was like so evasive. She would not tell me what the show was. And I'm like, no. Why are you being so weird? And she's like, I just want you to like have your first impressions of it. And I'm like, what are you doing? What is going on? And like, so when I went to see it, first half of the show, I'm like, what is going on? I'm still confused. What is going on? And then the second half hits and all 80s breaks loose. And I'm like freaking out. It just was a lot more than I thought was going to happen. It went in a totally different direction than I expected.
Because we had talked
spoilers.
Yeah. We had talked about it briefly because we watched What the Constitution Means to Me, and we talked about like, because that was the same Pulitzer year and Fear of You won.
Okay.
But that's why like I've heard so much about it, I don't know like the full details of it. I've just heard kind of like exactly what you said in terms of like, I'm not gonna spoil it or anything for you because I want you to see it, but like it's like it just like turns on a dime and it's wild.
Huh. Oh yeah, it's off the Richter. It's just,
amazing. Amazing.
Cool.
and then I guess, we've talked a little bit about it before we mentioned it, but I'd love to talk a little bit now. I'd love to talk a little bit about 1968, Tribute for Change. I guess, can you tell us, for those of you who haven't watched it yet, and that you will watch it, I guess, tell us a little bit about what it is about and what kind of led to it and what you want people to walk away from with it.
Sure. 1968 was originally a song, within my show Legacy. So it's a song about Martin Luther King, and his legacy and everything that he went through, and it kind of culminates in his assassination in 1968. When everything kind of hit the fan with George Floyd during the pandemic last summer, a lot of emotions came up in me that I was trying to resolve within myself, trying to understand my feelings, with my relationship with both the nation and also my place within the theater world, and a lot of like hurt that I had within myself. And also wanting to like feel like I could somehow contribute, even though I didn't feel like I wanted to be out there marching, but I wanted to be in support. I live in New Jersey, and I just was like, I don't know about, you know, taking the train to out there. I just didn't know about that. Yeah. But I was like, I do want to contribute. So I wanted to contribute in the way that I could. So I took the song and sort of reimagined it as a tribute not only to Martin Luther King, but to what people were doing today. The marches and the protests and the demonstrations to help demonstrate through music that, you know, the civil rights movement has actually never ended, and that, you know, it's continuing today. And instead of like looking at the youth being like, oh, they're being problematic or whatever, actually understanding that, you know, they're actually, you know, you say you want the youth to be non-apathetic, to be involved, to be political, to be active. Well, that's what this looks like. They are raising their voices, and they are saying that enough is enough. And I consider, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement to be connected and a continuation of the work that Martin Luther King spearheaded and led in his day. So if you watch the video, it does like a transition between the story, you know, the sort of almost fairy tale like story of Martin Luther King. And then it just like jolts you into today and how those two things are parallel and connected.
Yeah, I've watched it. We put the link into the episode description, so absolutely check it out. And we're also going to tweet it and put it in Instagram, so you can check it out wherever you follow us as well. And then kind of talking more about your work, you're working for Artistic Stamp as well, or can you talk a little bit about that? Because what they're doing is like super interesting.
Yeah, so when everything shut down in March, Broadway and all theater, it kind of left a lot of us in like a position of just like, what are we doing with our lives? And I got a phone call from Wes Tyler, who is a theater director that I knew from the New York Musical Festival. And he kind of knew of my work through Legacy. And he was like, hey, my wife and I are starting our own company, and we're gonna produce this new weird type of theater. It's, you know, it's going to be choose your own adventure, but it's going to be through letters. You know, you're going to write a play and choose your own adventure format, and you're going to mail the letters to the audience, and they'll write back and decide what the next, you know, branch of the journey will be. So, you know, they're kind of almost like an improv practice where you're, you know, building the story together with the audience members. And I was like, that is really interesting. I've never written anything like that in that kind of format. What, you know, I'd be interested. What do you want me to write, though? And they were like, anything you want. And I was like, oh, well, in that case, so I actually chose, because they do like every season, and they're in season two, but they'll do like six or seven or eight. I think they're doing eight this season, plays of different subject matters. So if you like mysteries, there's a mystery one. If you've got kids that you want involved, they've got, you know, once, you know, plays that are for kids. If you are into sort of sexy content, they've got, you know, they've got a little sexy one for you. So I was like, well, you know, I'd like to do one, a historical one, because that's kind of my thing. And they're like, cool, cool, cool. And I was like, I'd like to do one about Ida B. Wells. And they were like, yes.
It's so cool.
Like, yeah. And I mean, I feel like she's such an iconic lady, but like up until recently, I felt like nobody was really teaching about her, talking about her, and all the incredible things that she did. And I was like, you know, this is an awesome opportunity just for me to explore her life and to share that in a really one-on-one interactive kind of way. And so, yeah, so that is...
That's so cool.
What
That's
I have developed awesome. With them.
My mom's DAR chapter had a whole suffragette moment coming up to the 100th anniversary of women's suffrage in America. And so now I'm going to tell her entire DAR chapter to do your play. That would be so cool. They would be obsessed. So you mail them, and then when they mail back the, like, answer to what happens next, is it individual, or are you waiting for like a group poll?
It depends on how you want to do it. In general, we do individual letters directly to people, but it's the kind of thing where you can do it with your book club. I know people do it with their families, and we're actually working on integrating it into some school systems as well.
Whoa, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very flexible.
That's fun.
Awesome. So cool.
Totally do it in like a school drama club, and like you read the play to each other on Zoom every night. Like,
yeah,
and like that's more. Oh, I would have been obsessed with this as a kid, but I'll do it now.
Well, with that in mind, should we play a game?
Yes,
please. Absolutely.
More games.
Okay, I have. Let me read you the titles of two games and you tell me what you think sounds more fun right now. Yeah. One is called Impossible, and one is called The Last Word.
Okay, I'm not good at games. Which one should I do?
One is more quiz-like with lyrics, and one you can kind of make up your own answer to anything.
Let's go with that one.
Great. Yeah. So I've been watching Brandy Cinderella like every day since it came out on Disney Plus. So impossible has been stuck in my head. So I made up a game called Impossible. I have all of my Lights of Broadway show cards for a fraction in my bag. When it's your turn, I'll grab one. And then you get to come up with an impossible situation for that person or show to be in. So anything from like you want this person to work with someone who's no longer living, or you want the entire production of Wicked to be immersive in Times Square and she flies to the moon.
That's not impossible.
Something crazy.
That's actually what's happening.
And then we'll see who we think have the most fun. Brian, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Should I say when or should I just like shuffle
just pull, for you? You can just pull one.
Okay. You have Tracy Toms.
Tracy Toms. I want Tracy Toms to do a... I want Tracy... This it's not impossible, but I want Tracy Toms to win an Oscar. And I want Tracy Toms to win an Oscar for... originating a new movie musical role. So she would win best actress in a best performance by an actress in a movie or whatever it is. In a new movie musical of
and this is an impossible scenario?
I mean, I'm like
or is this an impossible things are happening every day scenario?
Now I'm
just make her fly at the end or something.
That'll be our answer to all of it.
I want it to be filmed live on the moon.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so like it's filmed on the moon and they build a theater. Okay, I'm taking this all back. They build a theater on the moon. Yeah, I just had to get warmed up. They build a theater on the moon, and to get there, like Elon Musk has to like put you on SpaceX, and you need to go, and you have a day like we had earlier in this episode. But the thing you do is you go to SpaceX and
space limo, space lobsters,
and they fly you, and then you watch Tracy Toms perform a one woman show of I don't know
Hamlet.
What
Hamlet
or like every night is different, like with space one night it's Hidden Figures the musical with starring just her and she does it, one day it's Hamlet starring her, one day it's everything starts with H's. Hamlet, Hidden Figures, Hamilton, like she does it all, and then they film it and release it for international space station, and she wins the international Oscar for best actress, best supporting actress, best actor, best supporting actor. She wins all four awards in the same year because it's a one person show, and she does all of that. And
you went zero to hero, bro. You were like,
oh, Hercules! She does Hercules.
You went plausible to like just every implausible thing all in one.
Yeah, impossible. I had to get warmed up.
Amazing, Kevin. Would you like a turn?
Yeah, I'll go next.
Okay, I'm gonna shuffle around. What show? Merrily we roll along.
It's good.
Hey.
I'm kidding.
I wish...
That was a good joke.
I wish Merrily We Roll Along had come out... It's like first ever Broadway production had been in like 1996.
Mm-hmm.
And had been like... Had been the cast from the Kennedy Center production. Like Colin Donnell and Lin-Manuel and Celia...
That was the Encores production.
Thank you. The Encores production.
And I didn't gatekeep Merrily We Roll Along.
Thank you. So if like the Encores cast had been the original cast and the show had opened in like 1996 or 97, like that's what I wish, because I feel like that show would have had a sweet spot in that like mid to late 90s, like experimental musical, like chamber piece kind of world, I feel like it would have done really well. So that's what my impossible wish.
I will say about that, I really, 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 really hope that the movie is great.
I have already forgotten it's happening.
Yeah.
I mean,
I didn't know it was happening.
So they're doing a movie, Richard Linklater's directing it, but they're filming all of the scenes and the action like years apart so they can match like the ages of the characters. So whoa. I believe it's Ben Platt and what's her name?
Beanie Feldstein.
And I know that they already did like the youngest version of them and like every 10 years they're going to film similar to the way he did Boyhood.
They'll meet 10 years and record like the middle stuff, and then they'll meet in 10 years and record the end stuff and then release it.
So it's like, okay, but by then we really will be on the moon, and then that is
the, and then Tracy Thomas does it by herself.
Dream right there.
Yeah. Totally.
Oh my God, that's going to be fun. But we're going to be old.
Yeah, it'll be.
Oh God, we're gonna be like, remember we saw Ben Platt on Broadway when we were young in our 20s and 30s and like hip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. November, would you like a turn?
Oh yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna shuffle around. Oh God, it's all. Let's see.
I believe in you, November.
Thank you. That means everything to me.
Norm Lewis.
Norm Lewis. So my impossible dream is that we're going to get married. Yeah. That's the end right there.
Winner. Winner.
Yeah. I'll be there.
Here, here.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers to that.
Yes.
That was easy.
Does he sing like "You Should Be Loved at Your Wedding" or something like that?
Oh my God! Yes.
You burn for each other.
Yeah. Well, at least one of us burns for somebody. I burn.
Wait, Kimberly, you go. You have to go.
Okay, let me pick.
Oh, that was so good.
I picked Sideshow.
Yes.
In the impossible version of Sideshow, they have come up with a way to conjoin two actresses only for the time they're in the show. So you don't get the just like put your butts together. They are physically conjoined to do, you know, the scene work. And then there's some sort of magic trick when they can sing a part.
Wow.
And then also it's done... I was going to say like immersive in a tent, but that's been done before. So that's not impossible.
Right. A tent on the moon.
On the moon. but they have found a way to conjoin the two actresses they want and like to do some sort of work that they do look identical.
Oh, I like
and
that.
You don't know who's who. So the Tonys are very strange that year because they don't know who to nominate. So joint best actress situation.
Probably no stranger than this year.
than this year of nothing?
Yeah, yeah.
For the moon year. Oh, that was impossible.
Yay!
Okay. Fun. So before we end here, I have a hypothetical question for you. Okay, so we talk a lot about like the aftertime. So post-pandemic, you are in charge of all of theater. Like, doesn't matter if it's West End or regional or New York or whatever. You're in charge.
You're the chancellor of theater.
You're the chancellor of theater.
I am the chancellor of theater. Yes.
What do you change right away? What stays the same? And what's the long-term goal? Like, you have say over the land of theater.
Wow. That's intense. I love it. One thing that's going to happen is I'm going to diversify Broadway from the true foundation of it. So it's not going to just be three super wealthy families that own all the theaters and control everything from there. We're going to break that up. And now we're going to have a lot of theaters all owned by all sorts of different people. And, you know, honestly, I feel like from there, I don't even feel like I have to do anything from there.
That's fair.
Once you actually dig it up from the root, then everything that grows from there will automatically look different. Yeah. And guess what's gonna be the first musical? What? I Burn For You.
Do you have a Bridgerton dream cast?
Ooh, good one.
Kind of.
Is Norm Lewis involved?
You know, we're gonna save Norm Lewis for a private showing. We're gonna do something. Okay, so help me out. I'm bad with these Broadway names, but okay, so for the Duke, help me cast the Duke.
Let's see. Henry did a version on TikTok I liked a lot.
I have not watched the show. Can you explain who the Duke is?
The Duke is a hot black guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he is like,
brooding.
He's like your Mr. Darcy type, you know, I'm super hot. I'm going to pretend like I don't want to get married to anybody. He's young, though. He's like...
I know. That's why it's tricky, because they're all, like, younger. Who are you thinking of?
Hercules and Frozen.
Oh, Jelani.
Oh, Jelani Aladdin.
Jelani. He's definitely a contender. Yeah. He plays mainly, like, good, sweet guys, I feel. Like, I would be interested to see him play, like, this sort of, like, aloof player type.
Totally.
Yeah. That could be good. Jeremy Pope. Do you know Jeremy Pope? He's very handsome.
Yeah.
He's a good one.
I mean, it could also I feel like.
Are we stunt casting? Because I'll welcome Michael B. Jordan to Broadway.
Okay.
Yes, please.
You want hunky and brooding? That's what I'll pay money to see.
I will pay double. Yeah.
With an English accent? Yes, Michael B. Jordan. Naked from both.
I don't even
act.
Know if he can sing.
I don't care.
But you know what? I think that he can.
He's talented. So
cast done.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh,
that's so good.
I want to see that. Also, most of the cast of Bridgerton the series sing.
That's true.
Anthony,
they could easily do like a West End version just as is. They don't.
They're done. Perfect.
Yeah. So we'll just we'll just have to, pop a Michael B. Jordan in there, and the rest will just be the actual cast.
Because, I mean, we all burn for Michael B. Jordan. Like,
yes, we really all do.
Unapologetic burning, yep.
That's what it is.
Oh, yeah. He's the perfect cast. Thank you.
Well, that brings us to the end of our episode.
It does.
November, thank you so much for joining us again. Check out 1968. You can find it. We're linking it here on all of our social media. November, where can people follow you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at November Christine. Also, I do a really funny musical theater series on TikTok, also under November Christine.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us. You can follow us at Broadwasted on all social media. Join our Facebook group. We do some theater nerdy stuff. You can also find us on Patreon. We do some awesome, fun things there with even more fun and exciting things to come this year.
Real quick, where can they find the theater by mail again?
Artisticstamp.com.
Artisticstamp.com.
Cool. We will also link to that in the description of this episode. So check it out there. But again, thank you so much for joining us today. This was so much fun. You can, of course, listen to this episode, which you're already doing, or any of our other episodes on Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts, and of course on Apple Podcasts. Rate and review us there. Five stars, please.
And thank you.
We end every episode with a quote. And today's quote is, "You got to fill the void with music, fill the void with song till my cup runneth over all night long." That is Passing Phase from Passing Strange. One of my new favorite musicals. We watched the Spike Lee live motion capture. Yeah. That was awesome, and I've listened to that a lot.
Burton claymation motion capture of Passing Strange.
Yeah, totally. Stu as himself. But thank you so much for joining us. As we end every episode, we raise a glass and we say, cheers.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.